الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله يحب المتطهرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We live in a world that places a very high premium on purification, on cleanliness. And you will see that different people, they, no matter what their background is, that all of us, we have this desire for purification. We are willing to pay a price, right, for cleanliness. We have all these objects in the stores that we go and buy in order to keep ourselves clean, to keep our homes clean. So this is something which, as human beings, we have this desire for. We desire cleanliness for ourselves, and we can relate to purification, and we appreciate purification. For the Muslim, this quality reaches its pinnacle because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us towards purification. And if there was already a natural desire for cleanliness or purification in human beings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that natural quality to its full splendor by commanding the Muslims that they should take care about their cleanliness. And Wallahu yuhibbul mutahhirin, that those who purify themselves, by doing so, they become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves those people who purify themselves. So this cleanliness, it applies to Muslim in two different ways. First is that we must take care of our outward cleanliness, and then we must take care of our inward cleanliness as well. And those who can remain outwardly pure and inwardly pure, then that person can actually reach a rank which is outwardly they're like angels, right? Physically they might be human beings, but then the rank is very exalted. And this is something that the Prophet said, that our religion is based on cleanliness and purification, tahara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is pure and likes purity, likes this to be clean, likes cleanliness. So when we think about cleanliness, we should think about the outward and the inward. Now, what is the outward cleanliness? The outward cleanliness or purification, this depends on first and foremost removing those things which are dirty, removing the impurities. And that's why in our deen there is this emphasis that a person should keep themselves zahiri, outwardly pure. So this would mean that you remove any unwanted hair. A person should shave their armpits to clip their mustache. And similarly, a person should have a habit of taking a bath, and also using fragrance, using perfume abundantly. This was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as well. The Prophet ﷺ liked using fragrance and used it abundantly. And sometimes the shine of perfume would be seen on the parting of his blessed hair. And this he did because he wanted people to imitate him, right? Even though the Prophet ﷺ's naturally, his body was fragrant. He was in no need of perfume. People in fact used to collect his sweat, his perspiration, to perfume themselves with it. But to teach as talim-e-ummat, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that we should use fragrance and we should use it abundantly. Then another way which is very important for us to, which is helpful for a person to attain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, is to make an ihtimam of renewing our wudu, our ritual ablution. So one thing is that all of us are familiar that many times when we have to pray salah, we are in a state of wudu. But then there are also other times during the day when we are not in a state of wudu. If we can make this intention that I want to be in a state of wudu all the time, this is one of the quickest way of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. It's a way through which a person can attain this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that not only are we in a state of wudu when we are praying our salah or reading or reciting Quran, not just in those times of needs, but as adatan. Adatan as a habit, if we can try to maintain our wudu all the time and we make this our tabiat, we make this our ada, then this is something which is extremely, extremely effective in attaining the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I just want to explain this, and there are several ways in which why this is extremely effective in attaining the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at ibadah, the three most important ibadat in our deen, there are many, but salah, tilawat, and tawaf. And all three of them require wudu as a condition. Why? Perhaps there is something special about being in a state of wudu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed mandated wudu, that you need to be in a state of wudu to be able to pray salah, to be able to recite Quran, and to be able to do tawaf of Baitullah Sharif. So if there is something special in wudu, some ruhaniyat, some nuraniyat, right, that is already there, we as human beings should try to tap into that spiritual power. That whatever power is there in wudu, we should try to tap into that power and try to maintain this state of wudu all the time. Now, why is this going to be very effective? Number one, that those who have a habit of remaining in a state of wudu, they can protect themselves from the wasawis of shaitan. They can protect themselves from the wasawis of shaitan. And this is again something that we can experience, that when you're in a state of wudu, you will have less of these shaitani wasawis. All of us can experience this, that those wasawis will be less. We won't have that so much raghbat or inclination to commit a sin if you're in a state of wudu. And on the other hand, if you're not in a state of wudu, then those wasawis will be a bit more, and a person's inclination to sin will also be more. So one very easy way of attaining this oneness in our batin, in our inward, this jamiyat, this focus, this concentration, this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within ourselves, is to be trying to be in a state of wudu all the time. And if you look in our deen as well, it teaches us, there's a teaching that when a person is in a state of anger, so that person should either stand up, they should move, they should walk. One of the things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is you should make wudu. Because if you make wudu, there's some khas rahmat, there's some khas nuraniyat, some nur in this ibadah of wudu, that because of wudu, that anger will go away. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ explained it by saying that al-wudu salahul mu'min, that wudu is the weapon of a believer. It's the weapon of a believer. Now, what is a weapon? What is a weapon used for? Right? It's not a weapon that you have this sword or this armor with you. This is a thing which is protecting our batin. It's not about the output. It's about protecting our inner self. Shaitan and nafs, they attack our inner self. They put these desires in our heart. They put these inclinations. They put these feelings, jazbat, khwaishat. Right? The shaitan and nafs are a real enemy. And they make us commit sin. Sometimes we don't even want to. But that ghalba, their ghalba, their domination is so much that we are not able to say no. So in order to protect ourselves from these shaitani wasawis and these nafsani khayalat, one very effective weapon, one means, one method that we have is try to be in a state of wudu. And if we are in a state of wudu, then naturally we can save ourselves from shaitan and nafs. And hence a person will be more inclined to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is some kind of a hifazati quwwat in wudu, some protective strength that is there. And that's the first point to remember. There is a story about a person who was an Ahle Kitab plus a Sahabi. And there was a knock on the door, and he waited. He didn't open the door immediately. So he went make wudu, and then he came back, and then he opened the door. So the person outside the door, he asked him that what took you so long? I could hear movement inside. I was expecting that you would come and open the door quickly. He said that I'm from now that I've accepted Islam, but before I'm Ahle Kitab. And in our religious books, it was mentioned that whoever makes wudu, then that person gets the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wasn't sure who was at the door. I thought it could be anyone, right? Someone who could hurt me or harm me. So I was not in a state of wudu. So immediately first I made wudu. I wanted to get that protection, that hifazat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I opened the door so that I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with me as my helper. Then the second benefit of being in a state of wudu is that it can protect not just us, and it won't just protect us against shaitan, it will also protect our salah, our namaz. And many times it happens that a lot of people, they miss their salah because they're not in a state of wudu. The water is cold and there's a bit of laziness and a person is a bit lackadaisical about this, that okay, I'll make wudu, I'll make wudu. And then eventually the time passes, 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 and we end up missing our salah. So this happens when a person, it can happen in different parts, different aspects of our life. On the other hand, if there is a person who has a habit of remaining in a state of wudu, then whenever there is a time for a salah, even if you're in the middle of a meeting, you can just take a few minutes out, 2, 3 minutes, pray your fard, and then you can come back, join the meeting. Right? We see this in corporate culture as well, that office corporate culture where they have these long meetings and you might be in the middle of a meeting. We know someone who said that I try to always maintain this wudu. And the benefit of that is that whenever it's time for a salah, I can just take a short break. I can pray straight away. I don't need to sort of delay. I don't need to sort of take extra time to make wudu. I can straight away pray and then I can come back and I can join the meeting, right? One of her friends, he was telling us the story about, he was a doctor in the US, and they have to perform these organ transplant operations, these surgery. And sometimes that surgery, that operation can last for several hours. And in one instant, he said that it can last up to 9 hours, 10 hours at a stretch. And then he said that, I'll tell you something interesting, that I perform these long multi-hour surgeries, but I've never missed my salah. And someone asked him that, how do you do that? He said, it's very simple, that as I'm operating, performing this surgery, so whenever there's time for salah, I take that process, that procedure at a particular place where I can excuse myself for a couple of minutes. And then I excuse myself. I'm already in a state of wudu. I just go in the next room. I pray my farz and then I come back and I rejoin, right? So it's just 2, 3 minutes. When a person is in a state of wudu, this becomes a mechanism by which we can do hifazat of our salah. Once the Prophet ﷺ was traveling with the Sahaba, and the Prophet ﷺ relieved himself and then made tayammum, even though the water, there's a river that was flowing in front of him, just a few steps ahead of him. So the Sahabi, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, the water is just in front of you, and we see that you're making tayammum. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, yes, I'm making tayammum because I'm not sure if I'll be able to reach that water, that stream, or not. And I thought, I love to be in a state of purification. So I'm making tayammum right now, and then I'm taking these steps ahead, and I'm going to go and I'm going to perform wudu. So this is the quality of the Prophet ﷺ, that Wallahu yuhibbul mutahhirin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. This is so beautiful that just by keeping ourselves pure, by keeping our clothing pure, by keeping our garments pure, by being in a state of wudu, right? Keeping ourselves pure that way, a person can put his name among the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that list of those who are the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only this, that person who tries to keep himself in a state of wudu, this wudu is also very effective means of removing the sins from that person. It's a way through which we can purify ourselves from sins. in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ explained this further and said that whoever makes wudu in the proper way, whoever makes wudu and they make wudu properly, then while they're making wudu, all their sins will be dropping away from them. Even though there might be some sins within the nails of that person, those sins will also be washed away. Any true wudu, our minor sins, what you call gunai sagira, they are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you wash your face, that's why wudu is not just splashing water on our face. It's very spiritually deep. It's a spiritually uplifting process, a very deep process, which has a lot of meaning. And that's why if a person does wudu with the proper intention, with the proper feeling, with the proper awareness, then this is it's a spiritually purifying experience. Then not only are you purifying your zahir, your outward, your limbs, but every limb that you're washing, that you're putting water, that limb is also being washed. So for example, when I place water on my face, then whatever sins that I did with my eyes, they're being washed away. When I do kulli, when I gargle, when I rinse my mouth, whatever sins that I did with my mouth, I slandered someone, I backbited someone, did ghiba, I lied, I hurt someone's feeling, those sins are being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, different parts of our body, that those limbs with which we sinned, if we make wudu with that proper niyat and that proper feeling, then all those sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the filth and the dirt and the impurities are being removed not just from our physical self, but also from our spiritual self. A person can attain a purity in their heart as well. And I'll add one more thing, that on top of making this wudu, if we can also add one more intention, that I'm making tawbah for all my sins, that even our gunahe kabira, our major sins, can be forgiven. So we did this ayat before, what is tawbah? And tawbah is that there has to be one condition, right? We make an intention that we have nadamat over our past sins, and we have an intention not to repeat those sins in the future. And if we have that intention, that a person's tawbah is complete, and with tawbah, our major sins are also forgiven. Any gunahi sagira, minor sins are forgiven just by the act of wudu itself. But for the major sins to be forgiven, we need to make this niyat of tawbah. So if you can combine those two things together in wudu, that while we are making wudu, our minor sins are already being forgiven. At the same time, if only we can make this intention of tawbah, then our major sins, our gunahe kabira, will also be forgiven. And for this reason, when a person completes their wudu, the Prophet ﷺ taught us one particular dua that we should make, which is munasib, which is appropriate to this time, that Allahumma ja'alni minat tawabina wa ja'alni minal mutatahirin. That, O Allah, include my names among those who are the tawabin, who repent to you, وَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُطَّحِّرِينَ or مُتَّحِّرِينَ, and Allah include my names among those who purify themselves. So in this way, we make tawbah of our major sins, and we also are forgiven for our minor sins because of this act of wudu. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that one amal which is extremely effective in washing our sins and in elevating the maqam and the rutbah, the ranks of a person in akhirah, is that a person makes wudu when it's winter season, yani with cold water. Because the difficulty is a bit more, right? And with the more the sacrifice that a person makes for the sake of Allah, more rewarding would that amal be. In a similar way, when a person sleeps, we should try to sleep also in a way that we are in a state of wudu. Many people, we make this mistake as well, that we sleep and sometimes we're lazy about this. It comes in a riwayah that when a person sleeps in a state of wudu, and if the Malikul Maut, the angel of death, comes and takes that person's ruh And if he takes that person's ruh in a state while this person is in wudu, then that person will get the rank of shahada. That person will get the rank of shahada. And in another hadith, it's mentioned that that person who sleeps at night in a state of wudu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints one angel. That angel remains with that person for the entire night. And at any time in the night, when this person wakes up, so this angel makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of this person, that oh Allah, that forgive, shower your maghfirah on this person. For this person has spent the entire night in a state of tahara, in a state of purity. And similarly, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that those who have a habit of remaining in a state of wudu and they maintain wudu even at night, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in their age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in their age, yani they will have a life which is very fulfilling. And if you see that this is a very easy ibadah, every person can do this, whether they're a man or a woman, small or young or old, right? It's easy that a person can spend their life in such a way, the days and nights in such a way, that we remain in a state of wudu all the time. Once the Sahaba Ikram, they came and they asked a question to the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya Rasulullah, on the day of Qiyamah, how will you recognize your ummah when you have to present water to them at the Hawz-e Kawthar? How will you be able to recognize that who is your ummati and who is not? And the Prophet ﷺ, he replied that my ummati will have certain signs, certain nishanat on their jism, on their physical self, which other people from other ummat will not have. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that I will recognize you by the shining nishanat, the shining marks of wudu on your skin. Any of those parts of our body which we wash in wudu, those parts will be shining on the day of Qiyamah. And through that shine and illumination, that nur, the Prophet is going to recognize us. He's going to recognize us and he's going to present us with that Hawz-e Kawthar on that day. So this is going to be a way through which the Prophet is going to recognize his ummati. So for this reason, we should try that to be in a state of wudu all the time. That when a person dies, we're in a state of wudu so that we can attain the maqam of shahadat. If you think about this, this is such a very big fazilat, right? The Prophet ﷺ giving nasihat to Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, that, oh my son, that if it's possible for you, try to remain in a state of wudu such that when Malakul Maut comes to you and takes your ruh, if you are in a state of wudu, Allah will give you the rank of shahadat. Such a big fazilat. And all it takes is that we make this our habit. Kama ta'ishuna tamutun. Like the Arabs, they say that the halat in which you live your life, that is the halat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give you death. Now, practically speaking, how can a person maintain their wudu all the time? This requires a bit of mehnat, right? This requires a bit of effort and in different ways, right? One is that we need to look at the food that we are eating. And if there is a particular food which constantly sort of invalidates our wudu, there's always a need to use the restroom, then perhaps a person can try to change their diet and stick to that regimen, those foods, those meals which are conducive for us in maintaining wudu all the time. And a second way is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. For every good deed, we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, that oh Allah, make this easy for me. That Allah, I want to live my life in a state of wudu. I want to be able to maintain my wudu all the time. I want to be able to be in the state of wudu every single moment of my life. Allah, I want that, I desire that. Allah, I ask you that you make this easy for me. There are some people in this zamana as well. the zamana, the time period that we are living in, that they have worked on themselves and they spent their entire life in wudu. Once in India, there's a place where Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fisani rahmatullah, his family members, they're the descendants from his family, they used to live in that place. And one of our teachers, he was telling us the story that he happened to go to that locality and he was meeting some of the elders in that community. And then it was time for Maghrib. And there were kids who were playing outside in the lawn on the street. And then as soon as it was time for Maghrib, those kids, they came in and they made a saf, a line, and they participated in the salah. So he says that I was happy, but I was also a bit disturbed that, I was happy for the fact that they were praying salah, but then after salah, I was a bit also disturbed that, did they even perform wudu or not? So I called one of the fathers, one of the elders, and I asked him that, these kids, they were playing football and then they came and they joined in salah, so they didn't perform wudu. And then that person, he explained and said that we have learned from our elders that we should try to live our life in a state of wudu. And hence, in our homes, if there is a child who has attained, who is 7 years or above, 7 years of above, you won't find any child who is not in a state of wudu. Every child from 7 years onwards above, 7 years and above, you will find them to be in a state of wudu. Whenever they break their wudu, they always make their wudu, they always renew their wudu. So alhamdulillah, there are such people even today, such communities, such societies where people try to spend their entire life in a state of wudu. So if those people can do it and the entire communities and societies can live in a state of wudu, then we can also make this himmat, right? We can also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us this tawfiq as well, that we can live our life in a state of wudu. So this was about the outward purification, and what greater motivation than the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who keep themselves pure. And then the second aspect of purification is inward purification, that we also should take care of our inward cleanliness. And what we mean by that is that we should purify our soul from bad characteristic traits like pride and ostentation and envy and this excessive love for the world, and avoiding transgressions and keeping to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also very important, because one of the things that stops us in our journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is these transgressions that we make, the sins that we do, the sins that we do with our limbs, and the sins that we have in our heart, these sinful feelings or these bad, blameworthy attributes that we have in our soul, right? Like pride and envy and jealousy. These things also need to be purified. We need to beautify our character, our heart, with the opposites of these things, with qualities like humility and modesty and courtesy and sincerity and generosity and thinking well about other people, right? Purifying our hearts of these vile characteristic traits and adorning our hearts with these praiseworthy attributes. And that person who can do this, then that person can very quickly become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. Right? That whoever becomes for Allah, then Allah becomes for that person. The real obstacle, right, on this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are these impurities that we have, whether outward or inward, right? And we did this, we started this whole series with taqwa. Taqwa means that you leave those impurities, right? Whether they're small or big. These sins that we have, these sins that we do, these transgressions, they're like impurities. Whether they're small or big, they're impurities. And Allah is pure, right? Inna Allaha tayyibun yuqbalu tayyiba. Allah is pure and Allah likes purity. Allah accepts purity. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and we want to connect to that pure being, it's not possible for us to connect to him with our impurities, with our sins. Right? We can never connect with the pure being with the impurities of sins that we have. So the sin of our eye, the sins of our tongue, the sins of our heart, the sins of our ear, these are all sins, and all of these sins are impurities. And with these impurities, we cannot connect with this pure being. We need to purify ourselves, right? In the dunya, right, we can, we see that we can might be able to fool other people, right? But here, our taluk is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because our taluk is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimum bizatis sudur, Allah knows what's deep inside of our hearts. So no one can deceive Allah. We can't dupe Allah. We have to purify ourselves from within. We have to purify our hearts as well. And this is the easiest way, right? If a person can make this their effort, can walk this path, that I want to purify myself of these impurities, outward and inward, right? And then that person can very easily attain the qurb, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so when we commit some sin, the bad effect comes to us, right? The impurity comes to us, and that impurity stops us from coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then practically, you know, how can we work on this? The first step on removing these impurities of sins is to actually finish the intention of sin from our heart. That itself is a very, very big amal. That when a person makes this niyat, that guna ki niyat ko khatam karna, that I don't want to sin intentionally and knowingly. This is the first step on the journey, that we become such human beings, such believers, that we try to finish the intention of sin. So for example, you might be sitting here right now. So I make an intention that I will not sin with my eyes. It's my intention that I'm making, right? I don't know what will happen, but at least I can make this intention and I can make this tawbah, right? And the least benefit of making this tawbah and intention would be that all my previous sins will be forgiven. All my previous sins will be forgiven just on this niyat of this niyat and this tawbah that I make right now. So for example, I make niyat that I will not lie with my tongue. I will not slander anyone. I will not backbite. I will not dupe or deceive anyone. Right? So I'm making this niyat in my heart. And then if I make this niyat, and then later on, let's say I do an act which is contrary to that, then immediately I can make tawbah. But the way shaitan deceives us is that shaitan doesn't even want us to make that niyat. Right? That we don't even intend to leave those sins. We don't even want to live such a life that is sin-free. Our wish is that I can continue committing those impurities, those sins, and somehow I can become close to Allah or beloved of Allah. That will never happen, because we cannot become the beloveds of Allah on our own condition, right? We have to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His condition. And Allah's condition is that we have to purify ourselves from these impurities of sin. We must have seen today that if there is a child who has done some, you know, urinated, or, you know, there's some filth or najasat, so the father says, no, I won't pick up this. I won't pick up my son, right? No, first clean him, right? Go to the mother, change your diaper, right? So that person, that child, that he's smelly and there's some filth, the father says that you're smelling, change your diaper first, then I'll pick you up. So if that is the case in our relationships here, then that person who has the smell of sins, then how can that person attain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we should make this intention that if we want to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make ourselves pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can make tawbah of our sins. We pray, and it's very easy. You pray 2 rakah nafil, and then after that a person simply makes tawbah. And in their heart, they're making this intention that, oh Allah, I will not sin in the future. I will not. The heart is saying this to Allah. It's not just simply the zaban, the tongue. our condition of the heart is such that the heart really makes this pledge, this promise, this commitment to Allah. Yani dil ki awaz ho, my heart is saying to Allah that Allah, I will not commit this sin again. And then after that, a person tries to abstain from that sin as much as possible, right? But even then, if a person falls back into that sin, because our intention was that I don't want to stay on that sin, hence those sins will be very easily forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also looks at us, and Allah also sees, Allah ko taras aa jata hai. Allah also has taras on his believers, that look at him, at least he is trying to draw close to me. He wants to come close to me. Nafs and shaitan are stopping him, obstructing him, interrupting him. They're not allowing him to come close to me, but he wants to come close to me. And the example of this is like a child. The father, he says that, oh, my child, come to me. And when the child starts to walk, right, he is very young, he's in an imbalance, and he's about to fall down. But before he falls down, the father quickly picks him up in his god, right? Exactly in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sees that this person has taken this step to come close to me, but shaitan and nafs are after him, and shaitan and nafs are trying to make him imbalance and fall down, Allah ta'ala ko bhi pyar aa jata hai. Allah ta'ala also feels love for this person, that in his own self, he is sincere, right? In his own self, this person is sincere. So that is what we need to do, that we just need to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our sincerity, that Allah, we need you. Allah, we need you. We want to make you our beloved. We want you, that you begin to love us. We just want to live a life that is pleasing to you. And if we can just make that, we can just show that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ki Allah, main aapka banna chahta hoon, right? And that is it, right? We just take that step. We finish that intention of sin, first step. Then after that, we make this effort to finish the sin also. And the moment the sins are finished, that person becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is a very easy way to become the beloved of Allah. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. Allah ta'ala is a very kareem being. Allah ta'ala is so kareem, so raheem, that Allah says to us that, oh my servants, if you come to me, if you take one step, my rahmat will come to you two steps. And if you come to me walking, فَإِنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي فَآتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَ, then my rahmat, my mercy will come to you fleeing. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is coming to us, right? If we walk, Allah's mercy will flee, will race towards us. So the fact that if we feel distant from this mercy of Allah, we have to take that first step, right? And this first step could simply be this, that we think and we make this intention that Allah, intentionally and knowingly, I don't want to sin. Agar unintentionally and unknowingly some sins happen, then those sins will be very easily forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we make this niyat today that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to purify our zahir, to purify our batin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our outward and inward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this batini and zahiri taharat. And through this taharat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his muhabba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among his mahbubin and muhibbin. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا رب كريم يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما یا رب کریم ہم اپنے گناہوں سے سچی پکی توبہ کرتے ہیں अल्लाह हम आइंदा इरादा करते हैं कि या अल्लाह गुनाहों से बच के ज़िंदगी गुजारेंगे। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हम यहाँ जमा हैं अल्लाह तौबा की नीयत के साथ। अल्लाह आपके प्यारे महबूब नबी अलैहिस्सलाम ने फरमाया, अत्ताइबु मिनज़ ज़म्बि कमल्ला ज़म्बा लहू, कि गुनाहों से तौबा करने वाला ऐसे ही है जैसे उसने कोई गुनाह किया ही ना हो। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हमारी आज की इस वक्त की तौबा को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह जो गुनाह हमने हाथों से किए उनको माफ़ फरमा, पैरों से किए माफ़ फरमा, ज़बान से किए माफ़ फरमा, आँखों से किए माफ़ फरमा। अल्लाह जो गुनाह हमने ख्यालात में किए उनको माफ़ फरमा, दिलों में किए उनको माफ़ फरमा, अपने जज्बात में किए उनको माफ़ फरमा। अल्लाह जो महफिलों में किए माफ़ फरमा, जो तन्हाइयों में किए माफ़ फरमा। अल्लाह जो गुनाह याद हैं अल्लाह उनको भी माफ़ फरमा। अल्लाह जो करके भूल गए अल्लाह उनको भी माफ़ फरमा। या रब करीम, गुनाहों की वजह से जो जुल्मत है उसको जुल्मत को दूर फरमा। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमें गुनाहों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह गुनाहों की महफिलों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह गुनाहों के बुरे असरात को दूर फरमा। गुनाहों की जिल्लत से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह हमारी बेयकीनी को दूर फरमा। हमें यकीन की नेमत अता फरमा। हमें दीन में शरह सदर अता फरमा। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह गुनाहों की लज्जत को दिल से निकाल दीजिए। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह गुनाहों की लज्जत को दिल से निकाल दीजिए। या रब करीम, गुनाहों की लज्जत को दिल से निकाल दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी इबादत की लज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह सलाह की लज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए। तिलावत की लज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपने जिक्र की लज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपने कुर्ब की लज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह अपने इश्क की आतिश हमारे सीनों में पैदा फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह आपने कुरान में फरमाया, उदऊनी अस्तजिब लकुम, कि मुझसे दुआ मांगो मैं तुम्हारी दुआओं को कबूल फरमाऊंगा। अल्लाह आपने ये तो नहीं कहा कि सिर्फ नेक लोग मुझसे दुआ मांगें। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह आज तो अल्लाह गुनाहगार भी हाजिर हैं। अल्लाह हम आपसे गुनाह की माफ़ी मांग रहे हैं। या रब करीम, बहुत दूर से आए हैं, बहुत देर से आए हैं। अल्लाह अपने गुनाहों पे नादिम हैं, शर्मिंदा हैं। अल्लाह तौबा करना चाहते हैं। अल्लाह हमारे गुनाहों को माफ़ फरमा दीजिए, हमारे तौबा को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह नेक भी आए हैं, अल्लाह हम जैसे गुनाहगार भी मौजूद हैं। अल्लाह बूढ़े भी मौजूद हैं, जवान भी मौजूद हैं। अल्लाह बड़े भी हैं, छोटे भी हैं। अल्लाह मर्द भी हैं, औरतें भी हैं। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह किसी को तो देख के अल्लाह आपको तरस आ जाएगा। अल्लाह किसी को तो देख के अल्लाह आपकी रहमत मुतवज्जे हो जाएगी। अल्लाह किसी का कोई ऐसा अमल तो होगा अल्लाह आपके यहाँ कबूल होगा। या रब्बे करीम, हम आपको उस बंदे का वास्ता देते हैं, उस बंदे की नेकी का वास्ता देते हैं। या रब्बे करीम, हमारे गुनाहों को माफ़ फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह किसी के तो उठे हाथ आपको पसंद आ रहे होंगे। या रब्बे करीम, अल्लाह उस उठे हाथों का वास्ता, अल्लाह हम सब की उठे हाथों को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत हमें अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हम कुछ लेने के लिए आए हैं, अल्लाह कुछ लेने के लिए यहाँ जमा हुए हैं। अल्लाह अपनी अता अता कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी अता दे दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी रहमत अता फरमा दीजिए। हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा लीजिए मेरे मौला। या रब करीम, मेरे मालिक, हमें खाली हाथ ना उठाइए। या रब करीम, खाली हाथ ना लौटाना। या रब करीम, उम्मीदों से भरकर अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह आपकी खजानों में तो कोई कमी नहीं। या रब करीम, अपने खजानों के मुँह को खोल दीजिए। या रब करीम, यहाँ हम हाजिर हुए हैं अल्लाह, इफ्तारी का वक्त तो बहुत करीब है। या रब करीम, हम फिर भी यहाँ मौजूद हैं अल्लाह, दुनिया कमाने के लिए तो नहीं आए अल्लाह आपसे। अल्लाह तौबा करने के लिए आए हैं अल्लाह, आपको मनाने के लिए आए हैं अल्लाह, अपने गुनाहों पे माफ़ी चाहते हैं। या रब करीम, आपसे आपको मांगते हैं। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमारे इस आने को कबूल फरमा लीजिए, हमारे इस मांगने को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत अता कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमसे राज़ी हो जाइए। या रब करीम, आप रहीम और हन्नान और मन्नान हैं। या रब करीम, आपके सिवा हमारा कोई ठिकाना नहीं अल्लाह, आपके सिवा कोई और दूसरा पनाहगाह नहीं। या रब करीम, रहमत फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम, अगर आपने खाली हाथ में लौटा दिया अल्लाह, नफ्स और शैतान हम पर खुश होगा कि देखो पूरा रोज़ा भी रखा और फिर भी उसको कुछ मिला ही नहीं। या रब करीम, नफ्स और शैतान को हम पर खुश होने का मौका ना दीजिए अल्लाह। नफ्स और शैतान को आप रुस्वा कर दीजिए अल्लाह, हमें अता कर दीजिए अल्लाह, अपनी रहमत अल्लाह अता कर दीजिए अल्लाह, एहसान फरमा दीजिए अल्लाह, मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम, जैसे भी हैं अल्लाह, गुनाहगार हैं, बहुत बुरे हैं अल्लाह, जो भी हैं बंदे तो आप ही के हैं अल्लाह, आपके महबूब की उम्मत में से हैं अल्लाह, हम आपको इस निस्बत का वास्ता देते हैं अल्लाह, आपको गुम्बद खिजरा का वास्ता। या रब करीम, हमारे गुनाहों को माफ कर दीजिए, इस नापाकी को खत्म कर दीजिए अल्लाह, हमें अपने मुतातहिरीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा दीजिए अल्लाह, में जाहिरी बातनी बात پاکی عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما, ہماری زبانوں کو پاک فرما, ہمارے سینوں کو پاک فرما, ہمارے دلوں کو پاک فرما. اللہ ہمارے سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ ہمارے ساتھ نرمی والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہمارا حال تو یوسف علیہ السلام کے بھائیوں جیسا ہے کہ وہ غلہ پورا مانگتے تھے, قیمت پوری ادا نہیں کر سکتے تھے. اللہ ہم بھی آپ سے آپ کی رحمت مانگتے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے پاس دینے کے لیے کچھ نہیں. اللہ ہم آپ سے آپ کی مغفرت مانگتے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے پاس دینے کو کچھ نہیں. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ اپنی رحمت فرما دیجئے. سیدنا یوسف علیہ السلام نے پورا غلہ دے دیا تھا. اللہ آپ بھی اپنی پوری رحمت ہمیں عطا کر دیجئے, اپنی پوری محبت ہمیں عطا کر دیجئے, اپنی پوری محبوبیت ہمیں عطا کر دیجئے, اپنی پوری مغفرت ہمیں عطا کر دیجئے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, سیدنا یوسف علیہ السلام کے بھائیوں نے کہا تھا کہ ہمیں صدقہ دے دیں. اللہ ان کے پاس سیدنا یوسف علیہ السلام نے ان کو صدقہ دے دیا تھا. یا رب کریم, ہم بھی اللہ آپ سے آپ کی رحمت کا صدقہ مانگتے ہیں. اللہ آپ سے آپ کی کریمی کا صدقہ مانگتے ہیں. آپ سے آپ کی رحیمی کا صدقہ مانگتے ہیں. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ رحمت فرما دیجئے. ہمارے اٹھے ہاتھوں کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ ہم کمزور ہیں. اللہ آپ ہمیں قوت عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ نفس اور شیطان کے خلاف اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ نفس اور شیطان کے خلاف اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ نفس کو نفس مطمئنہ بنا دیجئے. شیطان سے اللہ ہمارا پیچھا چھڑا دیجئے. اللہ آپ نے خود ہی قرآن میں فرمایا, خلق الانسان ضعیفہ, کہ انسان ضعیف ہے, کمزور ہے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, اللہ آپ نفس و شیطان کے خلاف ہماری مدد فرما دیجئے. اس شیطان نے اللہ ہمارے عملوں کو بھی ہم سے لوٹ لیا ہے. اللہ کبھی ریا کے ذریعے, اللہ کبھی دکھاوے کے ذریعے, اللہ جو کچھ تھا ہم نے وہ بھی لوٹا دیا. اللہ ہمارے پاس اب کچھ نہیں. یا رب کریم, ہم نے دنیا میں دیکھا ہے اللہ کے جو لٹو ہوئے بندے ہوتے ہیں, اللہ دنیا والے بھی ان پہ ترس کھا لیتے ہیں. یا رب کریم, ہم بھی لٹے ہوئے بندے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے پاس کوئی اعمال نہیں, اپنے اعمال کو ضائع کر دیا. یا رب کریم, آپ ہم پر رحم فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہم پر ترس کھا لیجئے. اللہ ہماری مسکنت پر ترس کھا لیجئے. یا رب کریم, رحمت کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. صلی اللہ تعالی علی حبیبہ خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.